All right, so I'm here with Staten Island's very own and Warriors of Wrestling current heavyweight champion, James Ruboy Riley. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing good.
All right.
Well, let's first talk about the most recent success. You know, they just gave you the title of Warriors of Wrestling. Yeah. How does that feel to know that, you know, they trust you to move the company forward and that, you know, they basically see you as a locker room leader?
It's crazy, to be honest, because, I mean, I've been with Warriors Wrestling since I'm 16 years old. I'm pretty much 24 years old now. So within an 8-year span, I've gone from just like the guy completely at the bottom. I was just referee and I had like one or two matches. And now I'm the heavyweight champion of the company. So the trust was completely put into me, which is a really cool feeling because I know that my hard work and my dedication finally actually paid off. And like in the past, you could tell it paid off, but this is the moment that solidified it. It's pretty cool.
And what is it like working for this promotion? Since this is where you started, right?
Yeah, this is where I mean, this is everything to me, Warriors Wrestling. I have a tattoo for it. I have Warrior on my wrist because this is my home. This is Warriors Wrestling is the first place that ever gave me an opportunity. I was just some punk kid, and Joey, the owner, gave me an opportunity to train with him, to learn the business. He kind of took me in as like a protege almost. He taught me the business side. He taught me how to referee. He taught me how to wrestle. I mean, he gave me an opportunity to wrestle as a mask character before I could wrestle as myself, just so I could get some experience out there. So this company to me is everything. I mean, I wrestle all over the country, but this one will always be like my heart.
So I want to bridge into the other questions before we go back to the wrestling part. You're now 24.
Yeah.
You started at 16.
Yeah.
And like, what is that like though? To start at 16.
It's rough. I mean, I was in high school. I just was at the end of my sophomore year when I started wrestling. So I still had junior year and senior year, and I would take a train to the ferry to another train just to get to wrestling practice. So I would leave school at 3:00, get to wrestling practice at 5:30. And I got lucky because our original trainer lives around the corner from me, so he would drive me home. So as a high school student, 3 days a week, it was hard, man. I had my homework. I had wrestling. Plus, I was a kid still. Like, you're not an adult yet. And I would do my homework on the train. I would do my homework on the ferry. And then I would get home. I would eat dinner, and I'd go to sleep.
What high school was that?
Tottenville High School.
Which is where?
It's in Staten Island.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. The wrestling school used to be in Brooklyn, right?
No. Well, I started with Gleason's Gym,
okay,
which is kind of how Warriors started, because myself, Joey, Jake, and the person who's now known as Will Ferrara, we all started there, and Joey left Gleason's, which pretty much started Warriors, because he had a problem with Johnny, and he just wanted to show Johnny that he could succeed, Johnny being our former trainer, Johnny Rods. Joey wanted to show Johnny that he could succeed, and Jake and this guy that used to be with the company, Matt Kaplan, were guys that I became friends with at Gleason's Gym. So they were like, hey, James, come hang out with us at this company, come referee. And I was like, all right, cool. It was just an opportunity for me. And that wound up getting us banned from Gleason's Gym, actually. So then Joey wound us.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah, there's like so much. Here's the thing with Gleason's, it's world famous, but the last talent they produced was in like 2000. So it's not what it used to be at all.
Yeah, that's what everybody seems to say.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't disrespect anyone there. Johnny is a Hall of Famer. He's absolutely incredible in the ring. He's as legit as it gets. He's a tough guy. He knows his stuff. But when you're over 70 years old, you can't really do much anymore. So that was a main issue there.
What is it like? Speaking of that, what is the difference between training with Johnny and then training with Joey here?
Oh man, it's apples and oranges. With Johnny, he never got in the ring with you because he was an old man by the time I got there.
Yeah.
So he was pretty fragile, and he would use his guys to train you, but the training was kind of ridiculous. Like, if you weren't part of the inner circle, you weren't getting your training. Right. So I would go there on Tuesday and Thursday night, and I was just a kid, so I would do, like, we'd get in a line, and it'd be like, take a back bump, and then do 20 push-ups, which, what is that teaching me? Nothing. So it took me so much longer to progress with Johnny than it would Joey, because Joey doesn't care. I mean, he'll beat the crap out of you. Exactly, but it's, when I was younger, I hated it. But now that I'm older, I'm like, oh wait, Joey taught me the right way, and he made me tough, and he made me a good wrestler. So Joey's training, I appreciate way more than Johnny's training.
I know what you mean, because it's the same thing with basketball. And I used to be like, oh, man, I don't want to go to practice, man. Yeah. I just want to play in the game, man. I don't want to go to practice. But then when you get older, you're like, you know what?
Wait a second.
It's going to make me elite. This makes me a little, this makes me stand out for the next guy.
Exactly. And I've been in this business for a while now, and you can see when people don't have the right training.
Yeah.
And you can see when guys aren't tough, or when guys, like Joey teaches such little things that most people wouldn't pick up on. And that's what's made me a better wrestler. And you could tell when guys don't have the experience like that, yeah, when they're doing like the weird little things wrong. But now I've wound up wrestling guys like Ken Anderson from TNA, Paul Linde from WWE, and they're telling me that I'm one of the best people they've ever wrestled. So that accredits to Joey's training.
Yeah, that was going to bridge into questions I had later on, but I might as well ask it now. What is that like, wrestling with those guys?
Dude,
like former WWE stars and everything like that?
It's insane. It's nuts because, like, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. So the first, like, big name I got to work with, it was both Tommy Dreamer and X-Pac. When I was younger, X-Pac was my favorite wrestler. I dressed up as him for Halloween. Like, it's crazy, and Tommy Dreamer I always loved. So I got to wrestle this guy that I dressed up as for Halloween when I was, like, 8 years old, which is absolutely insane. And then people like Paul London and Ken Anderson, these are guys that as I got older I looked up to. And now I'm sharing a ring with them, and they're telling me how much they enjoy my work. So it's like, it's mind-blowing sometimes. Like, I text Bunch is a huge fan of his. It's weird. It's the best feeling in the world, but it's weird.
What is that like to work with these guys and then go back to work, like, say, Monday morning? Or go back to school on Monday morning?
It sucks. Right. It sucks, yeah, man. Because, like, I work in retail and I go to school, so...
Let's not feel your pain, man.
Oh, dude,
do the same thing.
It's
brutal. Feel your pain.
It sucks. But no, because, I'll just bring up Saturday when I won the title.
Yeah.
So I win the title. I'm getting a bunch of congratulations. Fans taking pictures with me. My Facebook is blowing up. Hundreds of likes. And then Monday morning, 6:30 in the morning, I got to go wake up so I can go to Spanish class.
Yeah.
And no one gives a shit about my title win. And then Tuesday, same thing. I wake up at 7 and I go to work. So it's two completely different worlds. I mean, there's a huge difference between Rude Boy Riley and James Riley. So it's just, it sucks. I can't wait until it's just like, okay, I'm wrestling. That's it.
But it's cool. It's going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like when I talked to Anderson, and when I had the interview on him, when you wrestled
him, yeah.
He was talking about how Eddie Guerrero told him, like, always stay who you are, like, and remember who you came from. So basically it's like, just because you become this person now, just don't always forget, like,
of course,
everything that you went through.
Now, see, like, I've always said, this brings it back, Joey helped me out so much. Joey gave me my break. And, like, when guys become big, they obviously cost a lot of money to bring in.
Yeah.
I've always said that when I become big, I'm not going to charge Joey a dime.
I was going to ask you that, too.
There's no way. Because Joey's my mentor. And I think that would be so wrong, because he gave me the world.
Yeah.
Why would I want to take from him?
Yeah.
He's already handed me so much. So when I become a big name in the industry, there's absolutely no reason for me to want to charge him a ton of money for me to wrestle on his shows.
That was actually a question I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Like, what if you get big and then he asks you, hey, you want to do me a favor?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm obviously going to take a booking where I'm making more money.
Yeah.
But if I have a weekend where I'm free, I'm like, yeah, of course I'll come here. You know what I mean? Like, that's... In professional wrestling, Joey's like my father. I'm not going to charge my father to see me. You know what I mean? So... It's the same thing.
Now here's the other question. This is a double-edged question. I was going to ask him this, too, when I interview him, which is, what if, because of you guys, this becomes big, too? Then
I
what?
Mean, that's great. I want that. That's the goal.
Like, even if it isn't, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, say, even if it isn't WWE, let's say if it went like how ECW was when back in the day.
I'll take it.
Then it's like, then what happens?
I'll take it. Dude, my dream as a kid was to be a professional wrestler. So I'm already living my dream. There's everything else right now is just gravy. So, like, wrestling all these names, it's gravy. If I get into TNA, awesome, cool. If I get into WWE, great. But I'm already living my dream. So if we can make it something big, hell yeah, I'm down for the ride. Like, that's my bread and butter. If I'm able to make a sustainable living, like the guys in ECW were, because the guys in ECW were able to wrestle in ECW, and then they also had their independent dates, where they would make some money. If we're able to do that, I'm down. And that would be the best thing in the world. That's what we want. That's been the goal since day one.
It's scary because that's the way it's looking.
Shows are growing.
The few months that I've been covering the show, I've seen more and more people.
Shows are growing, man.
It's getting bigger and bigger. And I'm just like, oh, this is getting crazy. Soon it's standing room only now.
I know.
People are stuck up there.
Three shows in
a
row. Yeah. Three shows in a row, it's standing room only. That's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
That's good for you guys. So let's talk about your job life now. Like,
all right.
What is that like? Like, what is your job?
Well, I work at Bed Bath & Beyond. So it's the complete opposite of professional wrestling. I've been there since I'm 18, so almost as long. It sucks. I mean, it's retail. It's not as bad as it was. I used to be on the floor, and it's just helping old ladies find towels, which is, I mean, that's not what I want to do. It pays the bills. Then they moved me to receiving, and the boss in receiving is actually like a famous wrestling fan. There's this guy named Vlad, who everyone knows is Vlad the Superfan. And my boss is Vlad's best friend. He's this guy, Charlie, and he's been to pretty much every WWF, WWE show in the New York area. He's been to every single WrestleMania. He hasn't missed a Madison Square Garden show in like 30 years. So I was back there with him for almost a year. So we were just talking about wrestling every day, but now he got transferred, so now it just sucks again because I'm pretty lonely back there.
So what is... what's the other one? Well, what school do you attend?
I attend this college of Staten Island.
Okay.
I'm getting a degree in communications right now because everything I do it revolves around wrestling. And my communications degree, I think, is the best degree to get into professional wrestling. And I'm also doing a marketing minor because I have to market myself as a professional wrestler. So... communications, and I'm also doing television production because I want any aspect I can to help me in the wrestling world. So now I'm going to school for that, and of course my mother wants me to have a backup plan. I do too. I think that's the smartest thing in the world because wrestling can only last so long. So I want a degree that I could have a job and also a job that can help me in professional wrestling.
That's the way it looks.
That's what I'm trying, man.
You already, the marketing, communications, everything you put together so far looks like you're heading in the right direction, which is cool.
Thank you.
So, what is it like now? What is it like balancing all that?
Oh, God. Balancing is rough, man. I mean, I'll go through my day, like my week real quick, because it's rough. So, we'll start Monday morning. I wake up at 6 in the morning, eat my breakfast, head to school. I'm in school from 8 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. I have a two-hour break. In that two-hour break, I hit the gym. I go home, I eat dinner, I do my schoolwork, whatever. Watch some television, go to sleep. Tuesday morning, I wake up at 7. I'm at work from 8 to 4. After work, I go to the gym. After the gym, I come to training. Wake up Wednesday, the exact same thing as Monday. School from 8 to 5 with the gym in between. Thursday, wake up, work, 8 to 4. Go to the gym after work, come to training. Friday, work in the morning from usually 7 to 3. Hit the gym, wrestle a show. Saturday is my...
I say there goes the fun part.
Exactly. Saturday is my day off. That's the day I get to prepare for everything. I get ready, pack my bag, wrestle a show. I'm usually traveling on Saturdays, so that takes some time. And then Sundays, go back to work, go to the gym, and a lot of the time wrestle a show on Sunday night too. So it's rough because I don't really have any... like personal time, but at this point I don't need it. I don't care enough because all I want is wrestling. That's all I care about.
So what is it like to be an independent wrestler?
It's hard. It's hard to be an independent wrestler. It's a ton of fun. Like I said, it's my dream to be a wrestler and I'm achieving that. But it's rough. I mean, we have to travel all around. We have to drive everywhere. Like, we drive 14 hours to Chicago just to make a couple $100, wrestle a show, once we get there, everything's awesome. We're wrestling, we're doing it, we're going hard. But it's definitely rough because we're scratching and clawing trying to get to the top.
Yeah.
And everyone's fighting. So you have to be better than the next guy because there needs to be a reason where a promoter says, okay, I want to book Rude Boy Riley and not this guy. So you need to separate yourself from the pack. That's what I try to do because a lot of independent wrestlers right now have a very formulaic match that they do. And it's not bad. It's very good. But I try to separate myself. And I try to focus on the things that people on television focus on. I try to focus on selling. And I try to focus on my facials. And I try to focus on an emotional investment from the fans. So as an independent wrestler, I need to figure out each market. So not only am I wrestling in New York, and we don't have television, so when I travel to Chicago, they don't know who I am. So they need to figure out who I am within the first minute and a half of that match. So I need to tap, which is the best thing in the world, because there's a lot that goes into being an independent wrestler, that when you make it to the main stage, now you have television, now the crowd knows you, so now you can have some fun. But you learn the hard way as an independent wrestler.
So basically, like, traveling from place to place is like marketing yourself.
Yeah.
Every place you go, you're basically marketing yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to get
yourself known.
Exactly. I'm in new markets, and every place you go, there's new fans. So there's new people to buy your T-shirts. There's new people to follow you on Twitter and Instagram and friend you on Facebook. There's new people to promote yourself to. And now there's new people that know your name. So the more people that know your name, now you're going to start getting a buzz. Okay, who's this Rude Boy Riley kid that I keep hearing about? And there's a guy named Homicide, who's a pretty successful wrestler. He was in TNA and everything. I mean, I know you know, but when I won the title, he actually hit me up and he's like, "Yo, dude, great job, because you're creating a lot of buzz right now." So for me, that's awesome, because he's someone I've looked up to as someone from the New York scene for a long time. So coming from him, that was really cool.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Especially since they, you know, they catching word like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, what I wanted to bridge off to from that. What other promotions you working with?
Obviously, Warriors Wrestling is the main one. We work for, I mean, I say we because I'm also on a tag team with Logan Black, Scumbag Nation. We work for a company in Massachusetts called RPW, Revival Pro Wrestling. They're awesome. Their fans are really cool. They right away, like, took the ball and ran with us. Out in Chicago, we wrestle for this company, Freelance Wrestling. It is the most fun I've ever had wrestling. The crowd is amazing. Their atmosphere is insane. They sell out their shows. You can do whatever you want. We also wrestle for a company named Underground Wrestling out there. They're awesome. Super family-oriented, but like they have this huge stage and just beautiful lighting. Really cool stuff. I mean, there's a bunch of others. Those are like the main ones. Obviously, Warriors Wrestling, but those are the main ones that I like care about and invest myself into, because those are the ones that have taken me and made me something. And actually, there's a company coming up called Tier 1 Wrestling. Yeah. They're going to be having their first show, and they're already, like, super all about me. So I think that that could be something good, because the guy that's in charge is a really good mind. But we'll see, because nothing's ever guaranteed in wrestling.
Yeah. So do you have, let's say, a wrestling bucket list? Like, things that you want to do and things that you want to accomplish?
I mean, of course. And I've checked a lot off, because especially this year, like, 2015 has been the best year for me. I mean, I've tried. I've wrestled Ken Anderson, I wrestled Poland, and I won the heavyweight title. Now it's to the point where I want to be on television, and that's my next step. And it's getting to a point where it's becoming very real. So I'm working very hard at it. So I'm doing everything that I can do to get myself there. So getting in the best shape of my life, contacting the right people, doing the right things, having good matches so I could send out. But on the bucket list, that's the next thing. And of course, I want to travel international. I want to go to Mexico. I want to go to Japan. But that problem is, so many guys have ruined it for the wrestling world, because back in the day, Japan would reach out to Americans and they would pay for your flight and pay for your hotel and pay for everything. So many Americans wanted to get out there so bad that they paid for their own flight, they paid for their own hotel. So now we're screwed. And I'm not going to be the guy that pays for it. I want to be good enough that they reach out to me and say, "Hey, we want to fly you. We want to pay for your hotel. We want to pay you." And I think that's the only way to really go about this, because any other way, you're kind of degrading yourself, because you're valuing yourself at less than what you really are. I know that I'm worth more than me paying to get somewhere. I'm worth you bringing me. So those are my goals, but I'm not going to take shortcuts. I'm going to achieve my goals the right way.
Yeah. What major promotion would you prefer to work with? I'm sure it's whatever they give you, you're fine with it.
Of course.
But it's like,
of course.
What's the main one you want to work with?
It's such a hard question, because WWE is the mecca. that is that's the be all end all. That's the company that's been around forever. They're a billion-dollar company. Everyone knows who John Cena is. Everyone knows who Randy Orton is. But those guys are on the road 300 days a year. They don't see their family. They don't go home. When they go home, it's for a day or two. They get to do their laundry. They might get to go out with their friends for a night. And that's once a month, if that. I'm a very family-oriented person. I want a family. I want to be able to raise a child. So for me, TNA is very
convenient.
Not even convenient. It's just that's a good word, but it's not like TNA fits my ideas, right? So you go there, and it's a television company, and it's broadcast all around the world, and you have huge names there, just absolutely just incredible talent, just unreal wrestling. These guys are making a living. They're paying their bills. They're still taking independent dates. They still see their family. Like Ken Anderson, he's become a friend of mine, and we still talk to each other, and he gets to see his wife, and he gets to see his kids grow up, and I think that that's beautiful. He's still in video games. He's still in movies, but he still gets to spend time with his family. That is the goal for me. That is like if you're saying like a bucket list, that's it. If I got that, I'd be so happy. That's what I want. I want the best of both worlds. I want to be able to wrestle. I want to be a star, but I want to be able to have a family.
That's actually interesting because Angle said the same thing when he first jumped over there. He said that, you know, the schedule allows him to see his family.
Right.
And have a family life. So it may seem like for some people they might look from the outside looking at him, may look at wrestling like as in the main goal is to get to the top, be a WWE, be the star. But you know, some of you guys do want to have a family life too. Like
it's and like the big difference between WWE and TNA is WWE, Vince McMahon, Triple H, they've always been about the big guy, big body. And I mean, that's kind of changing now. If you look at NXT, you got a lot of smaller guys like Sami Zayn and Prince Devitt, who now goes by Finn Balor, and Kenta, Hideo Itami, Tyler Breeze. Like, all these guys aren't huge. They're probably my shape. But I feel like there's more of an opportunity at TNA. And I feel like for myself, I can achieve more in TNA than I could in WWE. Because it's a completely different world, and it's based on completely different things. And I actually enjoy TNA's product, and I think anyone who's a professional wrestler says they don't want to go to TNA, I think is stupid. Because it's a worldwide company. They're broadcasted in like maybe 20 countries less than WWE. WWE is, I think, in 435, and I think TNA is in 415. That's unreal. So you can go to Australia, England, Japan, and they'll know who you are from TNA. So I think anyone who says they don't want to be there is just, they're dumb. It's a stupid thing to say.
Let's talk about ink. When did you first start getting tattoos?
The day I turned 18, I got my first tattoo. Me and my dad have the same birthday. He is 32 years older than me. The exact same day, we got the exact same two. We got a friend crest. He got his on his arm. I got mine on my leg.
And when's your birthday?
June 10th.
June 10th. Both of you are June 10th.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. Yeah. It's so weird.
It's like my brother and sister. They're born a few years apart, but 2 days apart.
No,
a day apart.
That's nuts.
Same month, day apart.
That's weird.
A few years different. That's the only difference. So are any tattoos relatable to the Rude Boy Riley character in yourself?
I mean, like I said before, I have Warrior tattooed on my wrist. I actually have Rude Boy across my wrists. That was one of my first tattoos. St. Mark's Place, and we just got like $50 tattoos, and I was like, I want a Rude Boy tattoo, and I did. I also have a Lucha mask on my shoulder. It's just my love for wrestling. And then I have this weird Ric Flair, Ultimate Warrior, Dusty Rhodes, boxer thing.
Kind of cool. It's original.
Yeah, that's what I told the guy. It's this dude from Australia. His name is Heath Knock. He's unreal. Him and his wife are just like, she did this. Her name is Lauren Windsor, or Lauren Knock now. But they're just so good. Like, top fucking notch tattoo artists. And they come to New York once a year. And every time they're here, I make sure I get tattooed by them.
Are there any ones that are like mean most to you? Any of them?
Yeah, I have a couple from my grandfather, and he was like a big inspiration to me. He passed away when I was in 8th grade. But he used to sit there and watch wrestling with me, and before all of my matches, I kiss my arm and I point to this guy because this is it's Domino with 1931. Because we used to play dominoes together. He was born in 1931, and 31 was like his, like, it was like a weird number that revolved around his life. So all my matches are dedicated to him, and that's for him. This is also for him. And as I showed you earlier before the interview, I have a terrible portrait of him on my leg that I'm going to wind up getting fixed soon.
What was that like being on Ink Master?
It was cool. It was a really weird experience. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it, so I don't want to say too much. But it was very cool. It was cool to be in a television studio, also getting tattooed. And I sat for 2 6-hour tattoos at the same time. So one was on one leg, one was on the other. And, it was brutal. It kind of sucked to sit there. But, like, the producers were awesome. They really took care of you. The judges were really cool. They were really nice guys. Yeah, I don't want to say much more because I don't know what I'm allowed to say, and I don't want to get sued. So
at least talk about the overall experience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all that matters,
exactly.
The overall experience. Are there any future tattoos that you're contemplating getting or anything like that?
I mean, the problem is I have so many ideas, and I'm running out of room at this point. I mean, I just got my chest done, and that's a big piece that I've wanted for a while. In June, I'm getting tattooed by Heath and Lauren again. I'm going to probably fill up my left arm with filler. They do, like, Lauren does this really, really nice, like, galaxy work. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have her do that. And Heath does these really cool, like, crystals with rainbows and just, like, weird. Like, he's got a really imaginative mind. So when I was talking to him, I was like, listen, dude, I want you to just do you on my arm. Have fun with it. So I'm going to have them kind of collaborate on filling my left arm in June.
What does the one on your chest represent?
It's actually an album cover by the band Newfound Glory. And in the middle, it says LYD, which means live your dash. And that's a quote from a poem. And it pretty much means, let's just say I'm born in 1991. So on my tombstone, it'll say 1991 dash whatever I die, whatever, question mark. So what the poem talks about is that dash, it represents everything in your life. So you want to live that dash to the fullest. You want that dash to be the most important thing in the world. So from 1991 to whenever I die, it could be tomorrow, I want that. I want my dash to represent me. I want my dash to be the most important thing in the world. I want it to be everything I ever wanted to accomplish in that time span was accomplished. And right now, I'm doing well. So that's a constant reminder to myself. Live every day to the fullest. Make sure that everything you do
is wrestling.
Exactly, that dash is wrestling. I mean, since I can remember, wrestling is all I ever wanted to do. I used to wrestle my stuffed animals. I would wrestle my little brother. I would do anything just to consume wrestling. Obviously, my mother hated it because I was jumping off furniture onto couches and just being crazy because of it. And then the day I turned 16, I was like, all right, it's time for wrestling school. So yeah, wrestling's definitely that dash.
Is that a Dragon Ball over there?
Yeah, it's a Dragon Ball on my arm.
Why'd you decide to get the Dragon Ball?
My best friend is a huge Dragon Ball Z fan, so am I. And, I mean, once again, it all comes back to wrestling. If you compare Dragon Ball to wrestling, there's faces and heels, there's good guys, there's bad guys. Vegeta is just the coolest dude in the world. So, I mean, it's for Dragon Ball, but it's also for my best friend. So we, it's based around that, but I just love Dragon Ball. I mean, all my tattoos represent something. It doesn't have to be the most meaningful thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Dragon Ball Z tattoo. I have a Buzz Lightyear tattoo.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, I have a Wu-Tang tattoo. But that's because I'm from Staten Island, and all of us love Wu-Tang because we kind of have to.
In all reality, every tattoo you have means something.
Oh, yeah. Even I have a story.
Even if it's the smallest thing and it's only something to you. I've always believed, like, well, when I first started getting tattoos, people were like, oh, well, you always got to mean something. But it's like anything you get,
it means
basically
something.
Means something.
It means something. Like, that's it.
It could be a small little smiley face, but it still means something.
Exactly. You, at that moment, wanted to get that. There was a reason you wanted to get that. So, like, all the time, oh, what about when you're older, you're going to have a Buzz Lightyear tattoo? I don't give a fuck. Like, I wanted a Buzz Lightyear tattoo.
You're the coolest old man looking
exactly.
out there.
I wanted a Buzz Lightyear tattoo, and I got a Buzz Lightyear tattoo. Like, what's the problem? That's it. It means something to me. And I look at tattoos like, okay, there is a point in my life. So I've been getting tattooed now for 6 years. Every tattoo represents a point in my life, too. So now I can look back and, okay, I have this weird doodle on my leg. I love it. I was 18 years old when I got that. I can remember the exact time and place when I got that, who I was with, where I was. I think that's the coolest fucking thing in the world because what else is going to bring back like emotions like that? Yeah. I think that's so cool.
Every last one of them is a memory.
Exactly. It's a memory. It's a moment in time. And at that moment, whether it means something to me now or whether it meant something to me then, it meant something in general. And it meant something enough for me to put that on my body forever. And I don't want cover-ups. I don't want... I don't regret any tattoos. I just... It's just... To me, it's just the best way to express yourself. And I don't get tattooed for other people. I don't get tattooed for people to be like, oh, you have a weird doodle. And you're like, no, like, that's for me. That's my... It's my body. It's my tattoo. I don't care what you say about it. Sure, it looks cool and makes my look different, but... Dude.
On your partnership with... Your tag team partnership with Jake?
Yeah.
Black.
So, one of the first people I ever met at wrestling school was Jake, Logan Black. We kind of bonded because we're both into like punk music, and he kind of saw himself in me. So I was just some punk kid at wrestling school. Like I said, because of him and Kaplan, the guy that used to be in Warriors, I became part of Warriors Wrestling. So if it wasn't for Jake, I wouldn't be here. And I'd probably be stuck in Gleason's gym wrestling the same people for the past 7 years. Pathetic. After a while of wrestling single and me finally coming into my own and becoming a good wrestler, because he was a little more advanced than me, so because he helped train me, we were put together by a promoter. And it was just like, on a whim, just put together, and we realized how well we clicked because we know each other so well. I don't know why we didn't team sooner. And it just kind of took off because we have such good chemistry being best friends and being... I look at Jake as my older brother. So with the chemistry that we have as a tag team, it's kind of unreal because we know where each other is at all times. And if I do something, he's ready to do the next thing or know where I am. And like that might sound weird, but in wrestling, it's so hard to completely mesh with someone. And he and I completely mesh, whether we're opponents or a tag team. But we're a damn good tag team, so why wouldn't we want to market ourselves as one?
It's like, would you explain to me, isn't weird at all? Like, if you can break it down in sports, it'd be like a quarterback and a wide receiver. Or, let's say, a point guard and a center.
Yes.
Or a point guard and a two guard.
Yes. It's chemistry. It's either you have it or you don't. And we have it. So... we're using it, and we're using it well, and it's getting us a lot of bookings, and it's helping both of our careers. And if I want to go singles and become something bigger, I'll do that. But I'll still be with Jake. I'll still be the Scumbag Nation in other companies. It doesn't matter, because that's who we are. And some companies want the Scumbag Nation because, we're, like I said, I mean, I'm not a cocky person, but I'm very confident, and we're damn good at what we do. And there are a lot of tag teams out there that are just kind of just two guys wrestling. That's not what we are. We, when we're a team, we're like one person because everything's so smooth between us. So we're on the same brain wavelength at all times. And you could see it in the ring. So it's definitely something that's paid off.
Have you ever worked as a tag team here at Warriors?
Not really. We did a storyline where he was feuding with one guy and I was feuding with another, and they were in a tag like the Scumbag Nation. It was just Rube O'Reilly and Logan Black. But we've wrestled a ton here.
And I've seen a match with you.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of fun with it.
I think I've seen two matches with you guys, actually.
And I'm sure there's a ton more to come.
Let's say on from here, like, what would you like? How can I phrase this? Would you guys want to work, like, say, a tag team match against EYFBO? How would you think that would work out?
We've done it.
You have done it,
yeah, right? Yeah, we've done it at a company called On Point Wrestling in Jersey, and it was a ton of fucking fun because, I mean, those are our boys. Like,
yeah.
those are my good friends. And I think if we did it now, it would be even better because, like I said, like the chemistry. So our chemistry with them is built. I mean, we're down to work anyone, but yeah, I would love to do that again because we love watching those guys. We enjoy their style. We enjoy what they do. So hell yeah, I'd love to mix it up with them again.
And how long ago was that?
Probably about a year ago, maybe a little longer.
You guys have definitely, I've seen all four of you guys.
Oh yeah,
come
leaps and bounds.
Yeah, like you guys are definitely, every month you guys seem to get better and better. So it would probably be an amazing match.
I mean, I'm training two or three days a week and busting my ass. So is fucking Logan. So is Jurassic and Ortiz. These guys, like, it's cool because it's funny that you say them because they're just like me. They want to wrestle. That's it. They don't care about anything else. Everything else they do in life is just to support wrestling. So when you have a team that's so passionate like that, you want to work hard with them. But, like there are some teams that we're thrown in there with that it just kind of sucks because they're just like, oh, they're not a real team, like I was saying before.
Yeah.
But we always look good. We just make sure that when we're in a match like that, we make sure we look good.
On the indie scene, who would you like to wrestle? If there's, like, any few names that you would like to throw out there.
That's a hard question. Like, out of indie guys, I mean, AJ Styles would be a dream. That's like, oof, that would be good. With Logan, I want to wrestle the Young Bucks. We've been promised that match like 4 times, and we never got it. So that kind of sucks. With Logan, again, I want to wrestle the Headbangers. They're from the WWF, like back in the day. They're awesome. Cool dudes.
I was just about to ask you, pass
the
present.
Oh, they're the man. Like, they're so cool. And our gimmicks are very similar, so that would be a lot of fun. I'm trying to think of indie guys that I want to work with. Oh, man, there's this dude named Willie Mack out in California. Chunky 20 pounds. He's doing moonsaults and crazy stuff. I would love to work with him. ACH, Ring of Honor. I would love to work with Will Ferrara because he's in Ring of Honor now and he's killing it. And we came up together and it's been a long time since we got to wrestle. So that would be a lot of fun. There's a bunch. Those are definitely the main ones, though.
And WWE past or present?
That's hard. I mean, I would love to work with CM Punk. That's not going to happen. I would love to work with Shelton Benjamin, Kurt Angle, Jamie Noble. Dude, there's a lot. I wish Eddie Guerrero was still alive. That would be my dream. Chris Jericho, dude, there's so many. There's so many guys that I kind of molded myself after. And just to, like, work with those guys would be amazing. Like, on Friday, I'm wrestling Tito Santana. Now, I never, like, molded myself after Tito Santana, but I think that's so cool. Like, he's this dude. Like, Tito in the 80s was huge. Everyone loved him, and he was such a good babyface. And, like, I mean, he got to wrestle with Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, and all these guys that everyone knows.
I remember him wrestling Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, man. As a title, like, just good stuff, too. Like, just solid. And I'm super excited because it's going to be a learning experience. Like, whether he's going to move like he did, he's probably not. But I'm still going to learn because he knows so much. And he probably has forgotten more than I know. Because he's been around forever, and I'm so excited to do it. So anyone, past or present, anyone that can teach me, that's all I want. I just want to learn. I'm just a sponge. I just want to soak up all the knowledge. That's it. Like, every time I get in the ring with one of these guys, like a Ken Anderson or a Paul London, I learn. Or Curt Hawkins, he was little things, like, because he had just come from WWE when I wrestled him, so he was teaching me things that they want to see. So, I mean, the guys that I named are like the dream, but I would take anyone just to learn.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, other than X-Pac, because you talked about him, is there anybody else that influenced you in your wrestling career, or anybody that you really enjoyed watching?
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton. I mentioned them with who I want to work, but, like, Chris Jericho, for me, as a kid, that was it. Like, Jericho was the fucking man. He was the coolest guy in the world. Just his ability to change with the times was so good. Like, he went from character to character, and with just subtle differences. And he was always able to stay relevant. And his wrestling was always on point. He was always having killer matches. Shawn Michaels, just Ric Flair, just his selling is so amazing. I mean, if I take it even back, like Ricky Steamboat, I still watch Ricky Steamboat to this day, and I still try to sell like him because he's just so good, and the crowd cared so much. And like I said before, I want to just take emotion. That's what I want. Current day guys, Sami Zayn is unreal.
I remember when he was El Generico.
Me too. But I watch him, and I'm just like, this guy is perfection. He can do anything, and he same thing with Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. These guys are able to put the crowd in the palm of their hand and do it, make the crowd do whatever they want. And they get their ass kicked, and the crowd needs to see them come back. They don't want to see them come back. They need to. Like, that's to me, that's the most amazing thing in the world. Like, I get chills. I still go to WWE events, and I get chills because I think it's stupid when people say, oh, you're an independent wrestler, you shouldn't be going to WWE events. Why? You're a basketball player, you're not going to go to an NBA game? Why? Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to watch
that? You can learn by watching.
Exactly.
It's like watching game film.
Exactly.
You're still learning.
Why wouldn't you want? Like, oh, you're a mark because you're going to WWE events. Shut up. There's no reason to say that, dude. These guys are at the top of their profession. They are where you want to be. Of course I'm going to go. Of course I'm going to watch them. Of course I'm going to be like... And I don't watch as a fan. I watch as a wrestler. And I sit there and I just study. And let's say I go with my girlfriend and her family. My girlfriend's dad is a huge fan. And he's watching as a fan. And every once in a while he'd be like, oh, what, are you bored? No, I'm not bored. I'm just so... I'm so taken with what they're doing that I'm just so focused on it.
If you analyze it and breaking everything down.
Exactly. But then there's guys like El Generico and Bryan Danielson and... Or, like, even John Cena, he's so good. Like, there are those guys that can take you out of that mindset of being a wrestler and put you back in the mindset of being a fan because they're so good at what they do. They're just, like, it's just perfection, and that's what I want to be. I want to be the guy that can take even wrestlers out of the mindset and put them into being the spot of fans.